Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Our scripture reading tonight will be from Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
You know, there are some people who seem to talk incessantly, nonstop, and yet in all their talking, they never seem to actually say anything. You ever know anybody like that? But then on the other hand, there are those who say very, very little, but in those few words, they say a great deal. I think that's what we have in the Apostle Paul, and I think that's what we have in this passage that was just read for us a few moments ago, Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. You know, often when we read the epistles of the New Testament, particularly those of the Apostle Paul, we read those introductory statements and we tend to sort of speed right through them because, after all, they, generally speaking, sound about the same. But we really shouldn't do that, because sometimes what Paul does in particular in these opening greetings is that he lays the foundation for what he's going to discuss in the rest of the book. And that's what we have in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. The book of Galatians primarily is a book that is dedicated to dealing with the false teaching of the Judaizing teachers. You can read about them in Acts chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. And what you'll note about them is that they went behind the Apostle Paul in the regions of Galatia. They went to the Gentiles whom Paul had converted to Christ, and they began to teach them, unless you are circumcised according to the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. And so, in other words, they took portions of the law of Moses, combined it with the gospel, and said, This is what you have to do to be right with God. Well, the book of Galatians is all about dealing with that falsehood. The book of Galatians is all about showing how anything that is attached to the gospel of Jesus Christ renders it null and void, because there is only one gospel. Well, the gospel, as it so happens, is the subject of verse 3, 4, and 5 of Galatians chapter 1. It's three verses in our New Testaments, but it's really just one long sentence. It is the gospel in one verse. And I want to notice together from these three passages tonight, five things about the gospel in this one sentence. Let's read it together. Paul says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Five things about the gospel from these three verses, this one sentence. Number one, persons, plural, the persons of the gospel. Notice God the Father in verse 3 and our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is all about God and what he has done for humanity through Jesus Christ. In fact, as you recall, that is the story of the whole Bible, the salvation of man through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. That's what the Bible is all about. So think about what it is that God the Father, I should say it this way, think about the role that God the Father has played in the production of the gospel. You might think about the fact, for example, that God the Father planned the gospel. You remember Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. We talked about that in our study of that book. How God predetermined before he ever created the world that his design or his plan was to adopt adopt us into his family through his son. But that's his plan. Write down a passage like 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, which says the same thing. And in Acts 15 verse 8, a companion to what's going on in the book of Galatians, James will stand up. He'll talk about God's eternal purpose in planning the salvation of humanity through Jesus Christ. And he'll make this statement, known to God from eternity are all of his works. In other words, this has been in the mind of God from eternity. Before he ever said, let there be light, he had a plan, and that plan involved the gospel. But God the Father didn't just plan the gospel, he also sacrificed for it. Remember John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave. Our God, motivated by his love, gave. That means he sacrificed. And in Romans 8, verse 32, Paul will put it this way, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So the gospel involves God the Father, Galatians 1, verse 3, but it also involves God the Son, Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul says. Well, what did Jesus do in order to bring about the gospel? Well, he sacrificed himself. I think about Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and following. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what kind of mind was that? Well, if you read through the text, Paul will go on to describe the humble and sacrificial mind of Jesus. The fact that he willingly submitted himself to the will of the Father. The fact that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If it wasn't for Jesus, then there'd be no gospel. If it wasn't for Jesus, there'd be no gospel. And if there was no gospel, then there'd be no way for us to be right with our God. So Galatians 1 verse 3, the persons of the gospel involves and is all about God the Father and God the Son. It's the story of the Bible, how God redeemed humanity through Jesus Christ. Number two, there's action. Look at verse 4. Who, that is speaking of Jesus, gave himself for our sins. Focus in on that phrase just for a moment. He gave himself. This really gets to the heart of what the gospel is all about, and that is, of course, the cross of Jesus. When he says he gave himself for our sins, the idea is that he gave himself on behalf of our sins. It's his atoning work. He gave himself as a sin offering and as a ransom on our behalf. Remember in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, the Hebrews writer says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But in Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 4, he looks back at the Old Testament law, the Mosaic dispensation. He thinks about all of those sacrifices and offerings that were made under that law, and then he makes this statement, it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. In other words, that was only a temporary solution to a permanent problem. Ultimately, it wasn't the blood of a lamb that was required to deal with humanity's sin. It was the blood of the Lamb of God. That's why John said in John 1:29, when he saw Jesus coming, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28. Jesus said, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Paul talked about that in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, how he gave himself for us, for our sins. And again in Titus 2 and verse 14. So the gospel is all about God and what he's done through Jesus Christ and what Jesus did for us, the action that he took on our behalf is that he gave himself for us. So there are persons, there's action, and now there's purpose. Look at the next phrase. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. The word deliver basically means to rescue. And so the idea is that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He gave himself on our behalf in order to save us, to deliver us, or to rescue us. Well, rescue us from what? Well, rescue us from the wickedness of the world in which we live. Remember 1 John 5 and verse number 19. We know, little children, that we are of God and the whole world lies in wickedness. Or some translations say the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, where Paul talks about how we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the one who now blinds and leads those who walk in disobedience. How about 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4? Paul said, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest they should see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the point is that we live in a world that is full of wickedness, and if we allow it, that wickedness will overcome us. Well, Paul says that Jesus died in order to rescue us from that wickedness. He died in order to rescue us from our sins, to make forgiveness possible. Remember John 12, verse 30 and 31. Many other things, John would say, that Jesus did, but they're not written in this book. But the things that are written, John says, are written that you may believe, and that believing you may have life in his name. What does it mean to have life? Well, it involves, of course, the forgiveness of sin and deliverance from its consequences, eternally speaking. So the persons of the gospel, that's God the Father and God the Son, the action of the gospel, Jesus gave himself. He did that for this purpose, that he might deliver us or rescue us from this present evil age. And then there's reason. He says it's according to the will of our God and Father. The reason why Jesus died on the cross to rescue us or to save us from sin and rescue us from this evil age is because that's how God intended for it to be. Write down 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 and note how in that context Paul will talk about how God has saved humanity through the cross of Christ. And how, as you think about humanity and how we might fashion a plan for our own redemption, that everything that God has done through Christ and through the cross really just makes no sense. But in the middle of all of that, he makes this statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. He'll make this statement. He'll say, look, if the princes of this world, if they had known what they were doing, if they had known what was in the mind of God, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. The point is that we don't have the ability to know what's in the mind of God unless God reveals it, of course. And this scheme or plan of our redemption, it didn't originate within our minds or the minds of any human being ever. It came from the mind of God. Remember that he planned it. So there's person and there's action and there's reason and a purpose and there's reason and now there's result. Look at verse 5. To whom, that's God the Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. The story of the Bible, remember, is the salvation of man through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. And so that plan that God had in his mind from eternity, that results in his glory. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, that results in his glory. Our sins being forgiven and our being rescued from this evil age results in his glory. And this will or this plan of God, rather, that put it all together, as it comes to fruition, it results in his glory. That's why Paul will say in Ephesians 3 and verse number 18, to him be glory in the church, world without end, or unto all unto in every age, world without end. Amen. So the five things about the gospel in one sentence, there are the persons, that's God the Father and God the Son. There's action, that's him giving himself. There's purpose, which is to deliver us, there's reason, and that's according to the will of God our Father, and that's result. It results in the glory of God. Now, as you read through and study through the book of Galatians, you do that through that lens, recognizing that as Paul deals with the false teachers in Galatia who have created for themselves a different kind of gospel, that it stands completely in contradiction to the gospel that he has laid the foundation of in these three verses, the gospel in a sentence.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.